America. The DL debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Hi, welcome one and all to another episode of the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether it be now live on the radio or back on HighlandRadio.com, Spotify or iTunes. Great show in store this evening. We have top broadcaster Oisin Langan on the line. We have Adrian Logan joining us to discuss Dungannon Clark's famous win in the Tyrone Championship. And also, St Union's legend Rory Kavanagh will be joining us as we preview the senior football final. A very successful one for the footballers of Éirua, Milford and Convoy, but it's back to the drawing board for Dunloe, Clonmacnoise and Letterkenny Gaels. And I suppose, who knows next season, could it be a Dunloe, Clonmacnoise intermediate final? Very tough on the Clonmacnoise lads. I watched them on Saturday, their second final loss in a row. And listen, I've been there as a player with St Union's, losing two finals. We came back and won the third, and we had a brilliant two seasons after that. So lads, listen, you can regroup, and out of tough times like that, you know, the team can still come back and compete at the top. So good luck to them. But listen, what a day for Éirua. Back where they belong. You know, the game was so tough and tight right up into that last water break. How many times have we seen it after water break? Something happens, and Shane McLaverty just undercooking his kick out for Clonmacnoise, and the ball ended up with Shane McGrath in the back of the net, and Éirua really kicked on. You know, they looked very well fit, conditioned, pacey team. Great to see them back at the top. You know, and people talked about that being a turning point, and I go back the first half, you know, to Peter Boyle's penalty save for Éirua, and just after that there was a second penalty decision which Siobhan Coyle didn't give, and I thought it was a penalty, and those were the moments, I think, in the first half. You know, if that penalty, if you're looking at two penalty decisions, if that had went Clonmacnoise's way, it could have been a different game. As it was, the decision wasn't given, but outside that, I thought Siobhan Coyle had a fantastic game, officiated the game really well. And just after the match, I got a quick word with the winning manager, the one and only Barry Ward of Éirua. I'm here in Donald Park with the successful Éirua manager, Barry Ward. Sum it up for us.
Ah, just fantastic, Brendan. Look, we've been knocking about intermediate for too long. These lads have been here twice, I think, before, and looking unsuccessful. But we weren't leaving it today, Brendan. You know, the preparation and everything we've done in the last 12 months has just been, even 2 years, to get to this point, Brendan, and look, delighted with everything.
Yeah, it just looked like the power of Clonmacnoise against the pace of Éirua. I'd have to say the conditioning of the lads, the fitness, you know, really told in the end. You could see it was in the legs, and it came to the fore in the closing stages.
Look, the last day in the semi-final against Glen, going into extra time, we knew we were fresh, and psychologically coming into this game, we knew for fitness levels and that we weren't going to be wanting, Brendan. And all we had to keep saying to the lads all this last 2 weeks is just keep going, no matter what. And we knew we'd always create something for ourselves, and look, they did it. So
yeah, you had many a great performance yourself playing for Éirua. Barry, I was watching the sideline, you were kicking every ball there. You're probably wishing you could be out in the action again, but just for the club, Barry, to be back at senior level, all the history, all those days you had for them, you're finally back in the senior championship, and that's where you want to be.
Oh, definitely, Brendan. I think I kicked every water bottle and sign as well, Brendan. I think they are. Look, Ballyshannon should be playing senior football. There's too much tradition there, and look, we had a lot of support, people coming out, you know, saying this is what needs to happen. We need to get back to senior championship. Every footballer wants to win a senior championship, Brendan, and you can't win it if you're not involved. Yeah. So we've took the first step.
Yeah, brilliant. Listen, thanks very much. Congratulations, Barry.
Thank you.
And that was Barry Ward, one of the real gents of the game. What a great player Barry was for club and county over the years, and fantastic to see him doing well there with Éirua. On Sunday then we had the dreaded playoff between Milford and Dunloe, and you know, Dunloe came into the game missing loads of players, missing their top scorer Ward. You know, Milford just looked that better settled team. You know, there was no doubt with SP in charge they were going to be fit and well organised, and I thought just missing that main striker from Dunloe told a lot. And Cian Barrett, I think, was a difference. He had that extra bit of quality up front which just aged Milford. They won the first half by 3 points, won the second half by 3 points, and ended up winning the game 112-9. So tough and Dunloe, you know, 33 year history at the top flight of senior football. You know, they've got to go down and regroup. And Milford, of course, only up since 2017. You know, they had a couple of good seasons, tough enough draw this year for them, but listen, they've hung in there, and I still think that team can get better in the next year's senior championship, so good luck to them. Just down to the deferred junior game, the semi-final, St Mary's Convoy, 13 points, Letterkenny Gaels 6 points. And disappointing end of the season for Letterkenny Gaels. Joseph McGill was first class for Mary's Convoy with 9 points, but on a real exhibition of point scoring from dead balls and from play, setting up a fantastic final now between Mary's Convoy and Downings to see who comes out with that junior title. And now we turn our attention, of course, to the senior championship. Last week we had Stephen Cassidy on from Gadore, and this week we have St Union's Rory Kavanagh on with me. Rory, firstly, just on the back of that interview with Barry Ward, great to see Ballyshannon back in senior football.
Yeah, Lawson, you know a lot about them yourself, Brendan, from the late 90s and having their own ends again, a club with huge tradition, huge pride, and great work, you know, going on at underage level, and obviously bringing a good crop of young players up through the ranks now and getting their just rewards. So it'll be good to see them back now in the senior championship, Brendan.
Yeah, and I think clubs again, Rory, with that tradition and with the work that's going on then, you know, always looked into the possibility of county players, and you'd think if they get into the senior setup, stabilise themselves, they'll produce a few players for the county, which is always vital. Rory, just turn it back. Unfortunately, I have to take you back to the semi-final, Rory. I was thinking about yourself. We spoke a few weeks earlier just about your job in terms of bringing through this young group of Union's players. You know, heartbreak last year, losing by a point, and again this year losing by a point in the semi-final, again to Niamh Connell, but probably this year hurt a lot worse, seeing as that Unions were in control of the game and it looked like there was only one winner until, you know, this much talked about goal.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose in normal time we probably, you know, in the balance of the whole game, we were fortunate enough to get the draw out of it. Brendan, and force it into extra time, but I suppose then when you get into extra time and then, you know, start the way we did and getting those 3-point lead and the game of, like, it was such fine margins, there wasn't much in it. A 3-point lead was massive in that game, you know, and it's one really in reflection. Looking back, you would say, if you're being very critical from our point of view, you got to close those games out, like, and secure the win. But unfortunately, look, at we're very disappointed with a few of the calls that were made. I know Glenties will look back on it too and argue that the sending off was the wrong call. You know, and that was disappointing from our point of view. You know, it wasn't a hard game to referee, Brendan. You know, the you know, when you compare it to a few of the battles that me and you were involved in a couple of decades ago against the Glenties, you know, where there were so many things going on off the ball, it wasn't like that at all. And it really came down to a few big calls, and the disappointing thing from our point of view would and Glenties' point of view, you look at them when you see the video back, and you would say that the officials got all of them wrong. So that's the most disappointing thing. But again, huge credit to Glenties, because they're now going into their fourth final in a row, and you know, you have to take your hat off to them. They're a very, very tight unit. You know, they play a certain way, which makes them very, very hard to beat. They understand each other's role. And I think the three games again last year against Gidore, you know, that trilogy has just brought them on even further, and increased that level of belief, because even though we were 3 points up, you know, you could sense that they were still playing, they were still fighting for every ball, there was still that belief that they could get something out of it. And, you know, Leo popped up with what was deemed to be the goal to bring them back level, but it took an outstanding effort from Kieran Thompson, you know, who was probably only playing on one leg to put them through. So, look, from our point of view, it's hugely disappointing. But, you know, having lost two years in a row to Glenties by a point, it's a tough one for us to take. But, again, things like this here we need to learn really quickly from them and hopefully come back again stronger and more determined.
Yeah, Kieran Thompson in one leg, not a bad one leg to be on that left peg. It has really, it's top drawer. Rory, just on that, about learning from things. That, I mean, we're talking about Unions being this common team. You can't be a common team forever. You got to make your mark at some stage. I can hear it in your voice. You know that better than anybody, and it's probably a big part of that is someone. The ingredients in that, for me, having you around is a huge thing. So how's the legs anyway? Is there another season in you, yeah?
Listen, it's probably too early to call, but, you know, I do believe that teams need a certain level of experience in the ranks as well. You look at Gidors and you look at the Glenties, and they have all, you know, a sprinkling of older, experienced players. And, you know, Glenties the last day, Marty Boyle and Anthony Thompson and Leo, you know, these players that have been around a long time, similar to myself. And they're still having a big, big impact on games. So, look, in terms of my own personal situation, we don't know yet. We'll see what the body's like again in the new year. I think the COVID and everything and the lockdown that happened this year kind of helped me in a way because, you know, there wasn't a real heavy, heavy pre-season, and it probably helped me in terms of freshness and just going out and playing games. And you weren't a big long slog of the season. So it probably helped me in that regard. Maybe if we're still in lockdown next year, I might still be playing. But so we'll have to weigh it up and see what the situation is next year, Brendan.
So Rory Kevin is looking forward to lockdown and looking forward to some big runs around winter time. That's what you basically tell me.
No big long crazy.
I'll see you with a high vest there going up this morning there doing 10Ks every other night. Listen, Rory, no problem. We hope to see you back. I always bring a great play to the game, and listen, for as I say, I think any mix of a team, as you said, Niamh Connell, players just seem to keep going and going and going. So I think that's some things a lot of clubs seem to lose, lads, seem to opt out. Maybe that wee bit too early. For myself, it was injury forced me out. I never wanted to leave that early, so it's great to see guys like you and that connection from my time still in there. Rory, just looking forward to the final. Hopefully now, as I say, fingers crossed, it does go ahead on Wednesday the 7th. And a lot of people have been talking about two different styles. Rory, for me, looking at it, you know, when a team plays that form of blanket defence, which we know Niamh Connell are going to do, I don't think the opposition has any option but to play a lot like them. And I think, you know, as much as you may talk about Kilcare's ability to break forward, they will pack the defence as well, Rory. So it'll be a bit like the Union's Niamh Connell game as well. It just comes down to who can probably has that ability to unlock the other team's defence as they break.
Yeah, well, you would probably anticipate that sort of game. You know, Glenties will be aware of, you know, the attacking threats and the pace that exists in that Kilcare team, and they'll be very wary of not getting caught and leaving themselves exposed to counter attack. So they'll bring a well set up, well organised unit to the game, as they always do, and even ourselves, we find it quite difficult at times to break them down. But, you know, on the other hand, then, you know, Kilcare have proven against Gidore in their semi-final that they can actually change tack as well, and they can, you know, adapt to a team that's big and physically strong, you know, and that was one of the criticisms that a lot of people had about Kilcare, that they hadn't enough big men. You know, going back to the final they lost against Glenswilly, and they were saying, oh, Kilcare can only play one way, and they're not tactically savvy enough to deal with these big physical teams. So, you know, they've proven it against Gidore. That'll give them a lot of confidence going in against Glenties. As I said, they have forwards that can really, really hurt you, and they've really got a lot of pace, you know, from their midfield right the way up, and, you know, Ryan breaking from deep in the half back line as well. So, you know, they've added another string to their bow now, and it'll make up for a very sort of intriguing game. But as you say, you would expect it to be really tight. You'd expect Glenties to bring what they've brought, you know, when they set up against us, you know, that initial first 5-10 minutes of the game. You know, they had Charles McGuinness and everybody in the full forward line right back behind the ball, and they're defending with 14 men. So, like, you know, you'd expect them maybe to go something similar They're probably looking to exploit maybe a bit of lack of height in that full-back line of Kilcares, you know, with Charles in there, and they can put big Nathan Byrne in there as well, or whoever, big Gallagher fillet. So, you know, they have options, Glenties, but, you know, you would expect it to be very, very cagey, and you'd expect it to be tight and a lot of room on either side of the pitch for scores to develop. So it'll be an interesting, definitely be an interesting final to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, interesting, but cagey, Rory, good man. Yeah, I suppose, like, the Gidor probably wanted, they put McGee and McNeilis in there. They didn't give the ball in, and even talking to, you know, the likes of Stephen Cass last week, the orders were to give the ball in, but I think if players are so conditioned not to give the ball in, it could be hard to kind of do that. I mean, Gidor only hit 1-6 in the game, and you're just on a bit that extra bit of strength. You know, there's no doubt your old buddy Adam Spears in the background there doing a bit of S&C with Kilcaro, and you could kind of see that in the second half. You know, they look very well conditioned, very comfortable as they started to control the play. But of course, a huge side last Thursday night was AJ Gallagher's red card rescinded, so that'll give Niamh Connell a big boost going into the game. So it's a very hard game to call, Rory. Where do you see it? Who do you think is going to come out on top in your heart?
Look, you know, we played against both teams this year, and in the park, you know, against Kilcare, you know, Kilcare got a great start against us, you know, and they were on top early on the first half, and in the first 15 minutes, and really opened up a lead, and then we came back at them, and then, you know, they finished strongly, and I think they were done 5 points up at half time, and then that went out to 7. And to be fair, like the last 20-25 minutes of the second half, we really went at them and came back and got the draw. But, you know, again, we were fortunate against them, Brendan. They have, you know, Paddy McBertie up there, who's a match winner on any given day. A lot of other quick forwards that can get in and hurt you, the McLeans and obviously, and the Dohertys are going well. So, like, Ryan deep, so it's going to be a big one for Niamh Connell if Kieran Thompson is fit, if he's back 100% fit. We don't know what situation with him, because he is obviously their number one player and the man.
Just the postponement. The postponement, Rory, might be working well for him then around that recovery. Yeah.
Well, that recovery will give him an extra whatever week or whatever it was, Brendan. So if he's back to anywhere near his full potential, it'll be a huge, huge plus for them. Like, and you know, Leo as well. You know, looking at Leo against us the last day, it was hard to know how fit Leo was. You know, he was in and out of the full forward line, coming out for kickouts and things like that. So, much will depend for Glenties on the fitness of those two players. Even though they have a crop now of younger players, you know, Eunan Doherty was good against us. Alton Doherty coming and kicked a point. You know, Owen McGettigan and things, and Charles McGinnis. So they have a group of young players now that are starting to step up to the plate and taking that responsibility. So look, it's a very hard one to call. I would nearly call it on the fitness on those two players that I mentioned for Niamh Connell. And if they're not at the level required going in, you know, I would be swinging towards Kilcare. But again, it's going to be a very, very cagey one, Brendan. It's one you just wouldn't back against either team's nicked in by a point or two, you know.
Good man, Rory. You going for the draw then?
Well, if you were put a gun to my head, I would say Kilcare just by the tightest of margin.
Good man, Rory. Listen, thanks very much for calling it there. Never a man, he's sitting the fence. I, of course, top man on the box as well, doing his bit of commentary, and we'll probably see you later on this year doing that. Rory, thanks very much for joining us on the DL Debate.
No bother, Brendan. Take care.
Thank you, bye. Right, now we take a wee look outside the county to see what's happening. We've been looking at all the Ulster Club Championship games that have been going down the wire, and we're just at Championship winning point, semi-finals and finals. It's really heating up. One game I have to mention outside of Ulster, though, the mighty Corrifin have finally been beaten. They were actually going for 50 games in Championship unbeaten. It's unbelievable. 46 wins and 3 draws. This was their 50th game. And I've been talking to my friends in Galway, and they always said, listen, if no one beats them in Galway, they will not be beat. and Mount Bellew, my love, finally come up with the goods and stopped that amazing run. Now, they're a bit disappointed, it was only a semi-final. They would have loved that to be in a final. Now, back in the Ulster, 6 in a row, Derry Gonley and Fermanagh were beaten by Edinry yesterday, which was a bit of an upset, but again, new champions, great to see. And Cavan made the game on Saturday evening on the box. Crossalaw and Kingcourt, and of course, Crossalaw not won the title since 1972. 7 points up at a stage, but Kingscourt fought back to snatch a draw. And just looking at RTE, I was always wondering about the fees. I think it was about a £5,000 fee between them or TG Carty show a game. And I think with streaming coming on board now, there probably going to be a lot more money made by streaming. I think RTE have offered to show a couple of games in Donegal, but they chose to take the streaming option because, like every county board, the money needs to come in. In Derry, we were down to the last, to the big four. And the Loop, narrowly beaten by last year's champions, Mara Felt, and Slochneil, who haven't been in a final in 3 years, easily accounting for Ballanderry. So that sets up a cracking final. But switching just across to our neighbours in Tyrone, and I think looking at some magical Ulster football that's been played in the club there in this lockdown as we wait for the senior championship, I think Tyrone's has been by far the best championship. It has had everything in it, you know, tough games, extra times all over the place, penalty shootouts, and right down to an epic final, and a team that no one really fancied, but hearing from my next guest, they fancied in the camp. Dungannon Clark come through and won that title against Trillick. I'm delighted to say I have a big Clark's man on the line, the one and only Adrian Logan. How are you today, sir?
I'm not too bad, actually. I'm glad you waited a week before you rang me, because I'm not sure I'd have been able to take the call, actually. Such was the excitement that we had after the first championship win since 1956, when you think about it, you know what I mean? We always knew we had a good side, a very, very young side, average age 22. A lot of money invested, a lot of time and effort invested in underage efforts, Brenton, you know. And it's all come to pass for us. Incredible. What a journey. Amazing. An amazing journey when you think about it. Every match we played four matches, every match went to extra time. Even the penalties went to extra time. A cruel way to win a game, a cruel way to lose a game. But I suppose we have to take it. I felt sorry for Trillick that they would lose out in such a manner. I genuinely did. I'm not sure penalties are the answer.
Yeah.
And I just think that you know, that would be the you know, be a better way if you had a replay or something like that, you know.
Definitely, that's what I was thinking too, Logan. But again, for yourself, I know you come down here and you visit us in Downings and you get the nice sea air and you stay healthy. But how was the ticker after that, Adrian? Because I can only imagine the tension. I mean, anybody even watching that game, the tension was almost unbearable to be so invested in it, and for that to happen each game, it was absolutely remarkable season to come through.
Brendan, we're a town club. And yet we're a small club within a big town. A lot of other sports can take up young boys' activities, you know, with golf and football and rugby. And, you know, there's so many other things to play. And we were in the bubble. Basically, the people who were at the final were the same people, the same families who were there from the very first match against Loch McCrory right through Arbo, Errigal, Kieran, and then the final. And the emotion, people almost felt, I don't know how you can describe it, it was almost like whenever Tyrone won their first All-Ireland, people were actually almost ill, you know what I mean? And that's the way it was going, Brenton. People actually almost felt they needed water. I can't get the words to tell you what the emotion was like. There was a dryness in the throat. You were completely and utterly captivated by what was happening. And it just was an incredible journey the whole way, when you think about it. Every game went extra time. Every game we played went extra time.
It's a remarkable story. But look, I can feel you maybe shooting a movie in the background here. You know, I mean, it's such a story. Logan, you just mentioned to me about the tipsters out there. I mean, how much you were written off pre-game?
Well, you take it this way. In the local paper, the Dungannon Herald, they had experts, five different experts. You can't blame them, all the other lads, you know what I mean? People like Roman McNamee, Mahi Arn, great player, Sean Murphy of Galway, Conor Gormley, Carrick Moore, Kyle Coney from Arbo, and John Lynch, former Tyrone star. Every single one of them went for Trillick. Even one of our own people, Jody Kelly, who should have known better when he was on the team talk conversation, said that his head, His heart went for Dungannon, but his head went for Thrillick. But that wasn't the mood within this camp. Brendan, about 12 years ago, we were in the minor management, and we took the basis of a lot of these lads to San Francisco for a tour. And that bond that stuck with them for a week-long tour in San Francisco has remained. There's five or six of the team who played on last Sunday who were in Frisco. And sitting behind, a couple of rows behind me at the match, were about another 10 or 12 lads who were in San Francisco. That was the bond that started the whole movement. Then the club, rightly, the people who were good leaders at the time, the likes of Dick Cahalan, the chairman, the likes of Mickey Kelly, Ollie McHugh, decided that they had to invest time and effort into the youth. And the youth came through, and they allied with a lot of these lads who had that bond for the Clarks in San Francisco, delivered big time last week. And the scenes in Dungannon, as I say, you know, it's always good whenever a townman, I always think, you know, people talk about out in the country, how the Gaelic is so important, vitally important for us here in the town. We have a lot of brothers and people playing on that team, you know, and cousins. And, like, you know, my next door neighbour, Larkin Mullen, who grew up playing in my backyard and was one of the stars of the show. Patrick Quinn lives two doors up from me. My godson, Dara Begley, who is the reserve keeper. And he's the eldest one. He's 36. And the rest of them are all lads. Mm. It's just an amazing story. And the quality of football, I think, Brendan, was the thing that made it very, very special.
Yeah, listen, we've our own issues with football here. Look, just with my job, travelling around and that and looking at different championships, there's just something about Tyrone. You've got wee heartlands. We have them here in Donegal where your town is kind of, you know, the Gaelic team is kind of what defines the town, but we only have that in certain places. It seems to be everywhere in Tyrone. Everywhere is defined by its football team, how good the football team is, and I think that breeds into this championship, which is just blood and thunder. No one wants to give it up because it's so important to the town and everybody that lives in it.
I have to agree with you, and you know the thing that was striking, you talk about Tyrone football and you're very praiseworthy of it. The thing that really impressed me and I enjoyed the most, the Clarks played matches. There wasn't one foul blow in any of those games. You know, in the past, sometimes Tyrone have let themselves down on occasions with a few incidents and things off the ball. There was absolutely nothing of that sort of football in the championship this year. I also want to take, when I had the opportunity, Thrillick, unbelievable team. The courtesy they showed at the end, they stayed on the pitch for the Clarks to get the trophy. And that must have been heartbreaking for them. I know they'd won it the year before, but that was the quality of that Thrillick team, and that's why we felt that they were the benchmark. We always thought Thrillick were going to be a great, great side. Hey, before the start of the championship, I'll tell you a wee story. I was out with my wife having a cup of coffee in a wee restaurant out in Donoghmore called Moon and Back, and who landed in beside me? Only Matty Donnelly and his girlfriend. And naturally enough, we're not trying to know each other, and we started to talk about football, and I says, you'll be hard to beat this year. And he said to me, I tell you what, Logie, that's right, we will be hard to beat, but I tell you what, Dungannon won't be far away. He was the man that said it all those months ago, and he started to go through the team, and he listed the team and the qualities they had. We don't have a single senior player from the Tyrone squad on that team, and yet in every line, we have college winners, we have Ulster winners at all grades and all levels, and that's the key to it. The fact is, and obviously Paddy McNulty played a bit for the county and so did Patrick Quinn at senior level, but the rest of the lads, you know, no, none of them have played senior football. It may change in the future, who knows, but at the same time we're happy to enjoy our moment in the sun as the Clarks. A famous club and a fantastic outfit. When you think Chris Robertie is the manager, he won a Sigerson with Queens and Golds. He went on to be chairman of the club. He was in San Francisco with us. Terry Loughran, he was the captain back in 86 whenever Thrillick beat us. And, of course, Colly Holmes came in, a Tyrone stalwart, a man who's got plenty of All-Ireland medals from the Moy. And he gave us a certain edge and a certain meaning and a certain direction. And it's just been a roller coaster ride. Right? Mm-hmm. It's been incredible. And you know the thing that we really appreciate? The good wishes from everybody, from people in the left, you talk about Downings, I'm up in Downings all the time, people in Downings, people in the Moy, people in Killyland, people in Clonoe, all over, wishing as well, because we were the underdogs. Brenton, we were 33-1 outsiders to win the Tyrone Championship.
That's mad.
At the semi-final stage, we were 14-1. You can understand why there's a few Dungannon people walking about with broad smiles in their faces.
Yeah, I know. There was a bit of criticism about the celebrations, Logie, but you can understand.
Brenton, you know yourself. Club level, like, it's very, very important.
It's emotion. Yeah, it still is all family, Logie, and I know, listen, what could you do? But, I mean, 32-1, Logie, I tell you, that could not happen here in Donegal. I could never see it happening because we have four teams that play a certain way and it makes them very hard to beat. And I don't know, listen, sometimes it's you look at it, at least we have four teams challenging, but really the other side seem to be so far outside that. And you're right, I was at a talk night in Trillick there last year. Fantastic people, a great club and a great bunch. But listen, hats off to you. Collie Holmes, I suppose, there's a lot of rumours underneath it now. We keep wondering when the successor's coming to Mickey Hart. Should there ever be one, Logie? I don't know. But yeah, very much highly regarded.
Without a doubt, he brought a measure of calmness to the whole organisation, you know, and the clerks. You know, you see a lot of people who get animated on the line, the management get animated, you know, with referees and officials the same way always we do. The clerks didn't do that. They just stayed back, you know. There wasn't a word with anything. They just accepted every decision. Well, they didn't accept it, obviously. They questioned a few, but they went on. There was a calmness on the pitch and a calmness off the pitch. Brenton, you must realise, whenever we went to play our very first match against Loch McCrory, who had us beaten, we actually were 2 points down with 2 minutes to go in normal time, and we got a draw. Against Arbaugh, we were 2 points down in normal time, we got a draw. We were 3 points down with 3 minutes to go in extra time, and we beat them by two. It was exactly the same with Errigal. Errigal scored the goal and went three in front with 4 minutes to go of normal time, and we beat them with that last gasp point from Kieran Barker from the 45. And it was the same with Thillick. We were 5 points behind against Thillick on at least two occasions, and we fought back to get that to go to penalties.
Unbelievable. You know, look, people talk about turning points in the season, and you would look back to a game that happened, but it happened in every single game for you, which it's just phenomenal.
Turning points. Yeah. We didn't know. I tell you what, the people in the game didn't know they were coming and going. And it showed you the outpouring of emotion, sure, from people, you know what I mean, going out. And the town was bedecked, you know, in our famous colours, you know, Thomas Clark colours of green and gold. Look, I tell you what, club level, it just gives everybody a lift. It's as simple as that, you know, yeah, what I mean? Whenever you're doing that, Brenton, you know what I mean? It just is so vitally important for all involved, you know, that's it.
Yeah, listen, the capital of the famous O'Neill dynasty, Dungannon, boy. Look, you just...
Oh, well, you see, and you have to remember, too, we were playing for the O'Neill Cup.
Yes.
But it's the PK O'Neill Cup. PK O'Neill was one of the top officials in Tyrone for many, many years, along with John McQuaid and Donna Begley and people of that ilk. And the cup was named after him, officially named after him in Tyrone about 10, 15 years ago. So there was so much history for us. We were lifting the PK O'Neill Cup, not the O'Neill Cup, the cup of one of our own.
That's right. Logie, listen, I'll not keep you much longer. That phone's hopping there. I knew you were a busy man. Look, I just want to say personally, growing up, you know, as a young lad, watching you, all the GA coverage you did and the shows that you did, I used to love watching you. You knew your football, but you always had that bit of wit and could create a wee bit of banter in there as well, which we love. And then years later, I mean, I was blessed to work with you along with BBC, and we were even down recently there in Ballyshannon. They won the intermediate final at the weekend. It was the last time I seen you. We covered a match. That was a big thing for me, Logie, to meet you and work along with you. It's always brilliant to see you at games, and thanks so much for sharing the story of a brilliant year 2020 for the Clarks.
Brenton, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And, you know, the same thing about yourself. We can have a mutual admiration society here, you know, but you saved me that day because the conditions weren't great in Ballyshannon.
That was tough.
I think I had Michael Murphy scoring everything, and he probably was on the bench. But look, it was a fantastic season for us, you know. Yeah. And but it also showed, Brenton, what it is. People have come through a lot of struggles. You know, there's even more of a lockdown now in Donegal, and people have had so many issues and worries and concerns over the past, since the very start of the year, and football is something that can give people a bit of a lift, and hopefully that can continue with the quality of football we're getting up and down the country.
Brilliant, Logie. Hopefully I'll see you soon. Maybe even catch up in the Downings with you some evening whenever you're allowed to travel again.
Yeah, we'll have a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Cup of coffee. Love it. Aye. Good man. Thanks, Logie. Take care. Right, now in the line I have a man of many talents, but one of them is the gift of the gab. A man from Waterford who, for me, can commentate in any sport, really. A man who's worked at News Talk for over 14 years, and now I've been lucky enough to work with him at a few games at BBC. It is the one and only Oisin Langan. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good, Brendan. How are you?
The very best, Oisin. By day, you're a sports and marketing professional with Wilson Hartnells, and then you switched to superhero commentator at the weekend. Is that basically your setup at the minute?
Other way around. I'm the superhero for the sports marketing. The commentary is a bit of crack. That's who I really am. My assumed and false identity is in the marketing, but yeah, you have it kind of right.
Yeah, I know you've been sitting waiting patiently to get really stuck in to the county scene again, Oisin. Been a difficult summer, I suppose, because it's such a highlight and such a part of your life.
It is, and I wouldn't be me without sport, and even if I wasn't commentating at games, I'd still be going to games. And like, even in the years before I did commentary, I used to sit at home and practice commentating over games. So I'm actually well used to commentating on games with no crowd atmosphere, because I'd very often have the sound down commentating away, or I'd go to matches and kind of sit in a corner myself and practice away. But yeah, look, it's great to be out and about at games again. I appreciate that not everyone can go, and it's a select few who can go, and a lucky few who can go. And, you know, I'm lucky, like at Aoife, who you've met several times at this stage, who does the world's tidiest stats, comes along with me, and I go along with her, and it's kind of something we like doing together, and it is a real break away from the reality of the world at the moment. And look, Brendan, even at the best of times, the world can be a tough enough place, but sport provides an escape from it, and we're lucky that we actually get to go to games. But even if you don't get to go to games, watching it is an escape. Like, I find watching the Premier League or watch LOI and whatever I'm watching on TV, you can escape from the world for a couple of hours. Like, I didn't have one thought about COVID-19 on Thursday night when I was watching Dundalk play against Sheriff and commentating on it, and obviously that was done from home because we couldn't go to Moldova. But it's just great that sport is back, and we desperately need it, because it's good for the mental health of people to have sport as a distraction. It makes you feel good, it makes you feel part of a community, even if you can't sit together, because you can talk about it online. If you do bump into someone, you can have a socially distant chat about it. If you are lucky enough to get to a game, as you can do in many counties now, obviously you can talk there. And like, you know, you go right back in history, sport has always been there as a distraction and something to keep people happy. And like, for the miners, all they had was sport. They had a half a day on Saturday, and the reason why games were at 3 o'clock was because then they could go along and watch the football. And I'm glad it's evolved that people don't quite have to work, you know, that hard anymore, and they only get that kind of little piece of joy in their life. But even like right back into history, I'm talking like ancient Roman times, when they used to make captured soldiers fight lions. Now thankfully they don't do that anymore, although there's a touch of it in UFC, you could argue. But yeah, it's great to have it back, and we're really enjoying it.
Yeah, brilliant. Listen, it's great you and Aoife can go and enjoy games together like that. Oisin, thanks very much for sharing that. You know, it's quite honest of you to say you would actually go to games and sit in the corner and practice your commentary. I don't know many other commentators would do that, and I definitely don't know anyone would admit to doing that. It says a lot about you, but you're perfect in your art, and fair play to you for doing that, because it certainly shines through when you do your commentary.
Well, you see, Brendan, not everyone was like you, and not everyone was able to just step up into the top grade of whatever they want to do.
No.
But like, you'll have seen guys in the Donegal squad over the years that you played in who had to bide their time, and they might have been there for 2 years without even getting a league game. And the reason they can't get in is because, you know, there was very good players keeping them out. In my case, I suppose the standards are raised. Like, when I was in News Talk, Dave McIntyre was there, and you know how good he is. And you kind of felt, okay, you know, that's the standard I need to get up to. And you look over to the BBC and you think, God, you know, John Motson, he's really on top of things, Barry Davis. And I don't ever compare myself to other commentators. I don't want to be like them, because I'm me and I'm only me and I can only be me. And I would say that of any commentator or anyone who appears on broadcast in any form. And you can spot the phonies, you can spot the ones who are trying to push your buttons, you can spot the ones who are very obviously trying to emulate and sound like Michal Urmaer-Hertig, who was one of the best of all time. But you have to be yourself, and so I needed to craft my style of commentary, and the only way to do that was to work hard and just to keep practicing. Same, you know, the same way Michael Murphy goes down the field and kicks freeze when no one is watching. I used to do that with commentary. So, and look, am I there yet? No, I'm not. But the great thing about it is unlike players, unlike playing the game, you get to a certain age and you're not actually going to get any better. I like to think with commentary, you can, if you stay healthy, stay at it till you're 70, 80, and that means you're always evolving and always improving and always taking on board criticisms. And there was a guy actually a couple of years ago, Donegal lad, Kevin Kelly, who used to work in News Talk. And one of the best things I ever did was I gave him a couple of recordings to listen to. Kevin's sports mad, like a sports lunatic. And he listened to it and he's blind. And I said, right, am I painting the right picture for people? And he pointed out a few things that I could do better and a few ways of explaining things that would kind of paint the picture in people's minds. And that was one of the best things I ever did. But look, you have to have, like, you know it now with broadcasters and commentators, we're all a bit Alan Partridge. We all find it hard to take criticism, but you do have to be able to listen. You do have to be able to take it on board, and you do have to accept that you're not the finished product. You never will be, but I always want to evolve.
Very good. Listen, we're all the same. Listen, you mentioned some great commentators there, and just, you were saying, working at News Talk with Dave McIntyre. I'm always struck by Dave just going into different sports. For me, you know, growing up, we played a lot of soccer, played Gaelic, very, very comfortable. I mean, stick me in a hurling or a rugby setup, or, you know, I know you're a Waterford lad, you got a taste of a lot of sports down there, but you actually won an award for commentating at the Paralympic Games, so you must really be able to, Oisin, to be able to morph into whatever you're doing and then bring the best of it out. So it does take a lot of due diligence to do that. You've got to get a proper feel for the game, because as you said, people will feel it very quickly if it's not your game. So you really have to know the sport as well, which takes a lot of doing, takes a lot of input from you to get your head around all that.
Well, what I say to any co-commentator I work with is, no one cares what I think about any sport because I never played it to a high level. My job is to tell people who has the ball, what the score is, what the time is, or, you know, if it's rowing, where the boat is, how far they're trailing, how far they're ahead, how long is left, that kind of stuff. What you do, Brendan, is you find out the key things to tell people and to inform people of, and you do it. And then you defer to the experts for the actual knowledge of how that's happening. And I'm very lucky in a sense that, like, my dad is an utter sports lover, and same as his dad, who set up a GAA club in Waterford, who were in a county semi-final tonight. And like my grandparents loved sport, and they kind of facilitated my love of sport and everything, and I watched everything, and like I used to watch Five Nations games as they were, and I loved rugby. I didn't understand it because no one around me played rugby, and then obviously Munster took off, and you know, I think we all got more into the rugby, and Ireland had their successes in Leinster and Ulster and Connacht as well, and it's, you know, it's just something we watch more of now because it's on telly all the time. But the love of rugby kind of evolved. Like, up until the age of about 22, I can honestly say I didn't know the rules. I couldn't tell you the difference between a maul or a ruck. And now I absolutely love commentating on rugby. And I don't hide the fact that I didn't know the game and didn't really play it all that much. Because my job, again, is to say, you know, where the ball is, who has it. If you're on TV or radio, obviously your job differs a little bit. But then you have someone like a Bernard Jackman or a Gareth Delve or Brian O'Driscoll, who explains why all of this stuff is happening. So, you know, it's a very defined role, commentary. And as Bill O'Hurley used to say, there was times where I kind of thought of myself as a bit of a pundit, and Gilesy and Brady and Dunphy will put him back in his place, and sometimes that happens as well. I notice with you as well, we have a bit of crack where I'll make an observation and you'll just say no, that is not the case at all, and that's good, because the thing you're doing also is you're watching it from the fans' point of view, and you're trying to inform them. But the reason people like you are there is to say why all of this is happening, and if I'm wrong in an assertion, then maybe a lot of people are wrong in an assertion, and it's good to have that debate. And it's not a correction. Like, you know as well, I absolutely don't mind if you tell me straight out, no, you're wrong, because it's important to get that information across.
Yeah, it's a point of view. And listen, that's what it's all about. I mean, this show is called The DL Debate for one reason, because I wanted people to listen before the COVID, and, you know, I thought I'd have more guests up and it'd be much more interactive, but of course it just has to be everything's on the phone at the minute and that, and hopefully that'll change. But I wanted that to be a thing where people would have different issues, and I think that's a part of it. You know, we can't all just be, yeah, that's right, you're right, this is it. You need people to have different points of view, because everybody does. I just wonder, Oisin, about that brain of yours. I've watched you commentating on something vital, and I know that you're talking with something when you already have something queued up to speak straight after it. As if there's two, you've got two brains in your head. I don't know how you do it at times. That there must be, I'm just wondering, like you're in a real, I suppose, zone when games is on, particularly Gaelic matches. I guess, again, going to different sports, obviously with soccer and that, you know, it's much more a controlled type of game. But with Gaelic, you know, when I've been along with you, there's so much going on that you have to be on top of. Like it's a real buzz. Like.
It absolutely is. You have to be aware of what might come next, and on the way down to wherever venue we're going to in the car, I kind of like the venues that are nearly further away because it gives you more time to think about games and go through kind of scenarios and things like that. And Aoife will tell you sometimes I go through too many scenarios, and maybe, you know, maybe I kind of I annoy her a bit by constantly coming out with possible lines and pieces of information.
I think she needs the headphones in the car there.
Aye, but she's a great sounding board, and she'll tell me what sounds good, right, and what sounds. Right. And the fact that she knows sport as well, like that's a really key thing as well. Yeah. Like you've seen the stats that I put up on Twitter, and of course they're all Aoife's, and like to be able to write that tightly that fast, first of all, is an achievement, but secondly, she knows sport, so we actually sound things off each other, which is a good thing. And but like, you know it yourself, you have to stay calm and be ready for whatever, because you might have something in your head, but something completely different might happen, or you might have even your surroundings in your head on the way to a game, and then boom, everything changes. And the example I'll give you is one of the best and most enjoyable nights we ever had. Now, unfortunately for Donegal, it didn't go well. But Mayo against Donegal last year, remember, the equipment didn't work. We had to sit out with the crowd. It was raining. We couldn't hear the studio cueing us. We actually went on not knowing if we were live on air, and we were sitting in the middle of the crowd, and these boys beside us, they were great crack. They copped on about 10 minutes in that we were doing commentary, but there were times when they were chipping in with comments, and they could be heard, and you can't block them out. You can't say be quiet because you're sitting in among the fans. You're in their territory. I mean, you know, we weren't in the press box, so we had to kind of, you know, acknowledge them and acknowledge that we were on their patch. The funniest part, obviously, was one of them offering us cans. Still genuinely surprised you said no. but you can hear the can cracking open in the background.
On top of that,
like, it was raining and the power went out. Like, it was just... But it was still a great occasion, and we had to really go on the bounce. But we did, and we didn't hide anything. We didn't try and pretend it was perfect. We just said, you know what, we're sitting in the crowd, we're being rained on, my team sheet's getting wet. You know, we haven't had it, but it was just great crack, and it was just an example of having to react to the situation you were in. And just because, as Paddy Mulligan, the former Ireland fullback, has told me, and it's something I apply to commentary, I try to take all pieces of advice I get in my life and apply them to commentary. Paddy was talking about playing, and he got sick of hearing players saying, well, I'm only 90% fit, or I have a slight tweak. He said, you will never play perfectly fit, he said. Very rarely, he said, did I ever play a game where I was 120% right and everything was great and the weather was great and all the circumstances were great. He said, you always have little obstacles to get over, and the good players deal with that.
Yeah, and you and Castlebar as well, I think their programmes were soaked, obviously, because we were sitting outside, but my abiding memory of that was that we were at the edge of one kind of row of seating, and then there was a break where you would walk, and then we couldn't see in the corners. When the ball went in the corner, you were flipping, you were pushing people apart to see in over the top. I mean, it was such a complete disaster, but your attitude to it was, can do, I'm going to make this work, which he did, and it ended up being a fun day. I know plenty of people would have said, hey, forget about this is a disaster, and kind of complained about it, probably put themselves into a bad state, but you were just like, right, bring it on, we're going to do this, and somehow we did it, thanks to you. I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
The sport is fun, and it's supposed to be fun. And if you're at a match, then you have to really, I suppose, you know, work with what's happening, go with the conditions, and like I, and again, like you were saying, I had to kind of run to the edge of the next row of seats and push people out of the way. But I was talking about this as I did it, and I was saying, look, this is where we're sitting. This is what I had to do. I actually had to lean over and see into the corner, and people were turning around and going, who is this lunatic? I mean, Brendan, it's never happened in your life that you've been sitting there and someone else has been the lunatic in the room. That was me that night. Yeah. But it was like, why complain? Why stop? Why throw a strop and say, well, these are not perfect conditions, you know? You just go with it. It's a great experience. And, okay, 9 times out of 10, you're in a press box and you've the normal conditions, but I think it actually kind of added to it rather than it being taken away from, the fact that we actually didn't have the perfect conditions and the fact that things were just so crazy, because it was a crazy night as well. I mean, even that night, there was there was the worst traffic I've ever witnessed going into Castlebar for a match. It was the worst traffic, second worst traffic I've ever had going to a game. The Munster final takes the biscuit on that one, Cork and Kerry and Killarney. But I had to ditch the car, get a big ISD inbox, a broadcast kit, and practically run 2 kilometres. Before I even got there, I was drained. So it was just a crazy, crazy night.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I could talk to you all day. You know, and thanks so much for giving us an insight into that, because a lot of people in the background don't realise a lot of the stuff has gone out. So we've got an insight into the mind, a sometimes crazy mind, but always, always talented and always delivers mind of Oisin Langan. Thanks for joining us this evening on the DL Debate.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me on. And by the way as well, my thanks to Oisin Kelly of Highland Radio, who has always been a really big help, and Highland's and the DL Debate and everything that you do in Highland is absolutely fantastic. And I was listening even yesterday to the Finn Harps Cork City game, a 1-1 draw. Not the result I wanted as a Cork City fan, but great sport in Highland. Great stuff from yourself as well, Brent.
No problem. Oisin, thanks a million. Hopefully I'll see you when the county resumes. Fingers crossed that gets done. Yes, we've almost all the action wrapped up for you there. Some brilliant interviews. And unfortunately for Glenfinn ladies, their Ulster semi-final against Lacken is called off on Sunday. And as of yet, we haven't got a date yet. So hopefully they'll get the run on the Ulster soon, and we want to wish them all the best. I want to thank my guests this evening, Oisin, Rory and Logie, for their input. Fantastic lads. And of course Kenneth for keeping me right, and he has a big job doing that. But thanks very much for Kenneth for producing me here up at Highland Radio. And that's the end of the show. I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arts Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.